Thanks for listening to messages here at First Baptist Church Monticello. We are a multi-generational church in the panhandle of Florida that is committed to worshiping our great God, growing closer to Jesus Christ, serving God by serving others, and sharing the good news about Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. Be sure to like us on Facebook and listen to our messages anytime on our website, fbcmonticello.org. Thanks for being part of our FBC family, and enjoy the message.
There was always a special time in my house. I remember growing up as a family when my mom would put together the feast to end all feasts with the turkey and I always liked the cranberry sauce and all of those things. And she would chase me out of the kitchen because she didn't want me snacking and eating stuff while she was cooking it, because I would. So she would chase me out. And back then, we would play outside. So she would chase me outside and I'd have fun down at the lake or fish or something like that. And it was always special when my mom said, it's time for everybody to come in and sit down and have the meal, right? The meal is ready. And what's neat is that tradition, of course, continues with my family. And now Carol is the one in the kitchen. And she, too, chases me out of the kitchen while she's cooking, because I'll stand there and eat all the food up. And it's also a special moment when it's time for all the kids to come together and for us to gather around the table and say a prayer and have the meal and just spend that family time together. And y'all are, of course, very familiar with those moments in your own life. And so this morning we're talking about coming to the table, and that Jesus invites us to the table of the Lord's Supper. And so we're going to take some time to look at a number of passages of Scripture as it relates to the Lord's Supper, and we are going to participate in the Lord's Supper here this morning. And so I hope you have your message notes, and we're going to fill in some blanks along the way, and as we talk about coming to the table, that is the Lord's Supper. The number one there on your message notes is that our invitation to come personally, our invitation is to come personally. And so the invitation that Jesus gives us to come to the table is a personal one. He extends an invitation for each one of us. When we come to the Lord's table, we individually come when we come to Jesus in faith. And we remember what he did for us on the cross. And so it's an individual call for us to place our faith in him. And it's an individual call for us to come and partake. He's saying, come to the table. And as we come to the table and as we respond to Jesus in faith and we become one of the children of God, sons and daughters of the King, then we corporately come as well. And so there's both the personal aspect, the individual aspect of the Lord's Supper, that we individually come, and then corporately we come together today. And so that's what we see happening right here in this room this morning, is that each one of us that has placed their faith in Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, we come to the table because we want to remember what Jesus did for us on the cross when his body was bruised for us and whipped for us, and when his blood was spilt for us. We come because we individually remember that. But corporately, we come together because we all belong to Christ, those that have placed their faith in Jesus Christ. And so our invitation is to come personally. You know, there's nothing wrong with a family participating in the Lord's Supper, maybe a dad leading out in the Lord's Supper there around the table or doing something like that. But listen, the place for the Lord's table is corporately, as we join together as the body of Christ. And that's what we do every Sunday. And then some Sundays, we remember what Jesus did for us as we participate in the Lord's Supper. So our invitation is to come personally. And when we come to his table, we need clean hands. I remember, of course, as a kid, one of the things, I'd be outside playing or whatever, and to come to the table, I'd have to come in and get cleaned up a little bit before sitting down, because that was the right thing to do. I'm a little bit of a germaphobe, and so I like to have my hands clean I like antibacterial stuff. I mean, we have that all over the church. There's just something about when you're fixing to eat, having your hands clean. But spiritually, we need to have our hands clean spiritually as well. This passage that we looked at said, "So then, whoever eats the bread and drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink of the cup." And so when we come to the Lord's Supper and we remember, we take time to say, "Jesus, I'm going to remember what you did for us and for me on the cross," we need to examine our hearts. And we need to see if there's an impurity there. And we need to bring that before the Lord. And so what we're going to do before we serve the bread, we're going to look at a passage of scripture in Psalm 51. And we're going to use this as a prayer. This is David's prayer of repentance that is a great model for us as we think about coming to the Lord's table, coming to the Lord with clean hands. Psalm 51, we're going to read the first few verses of that. And then, and just to let you all know what we're going to do, we're going to read this as a scripture prayer of repentance. Then our deacons are going to come down, and they're going to serve the bread. And then after I serve them the bread, they're going to return back to their seats, and we're going to partake of the bread. And after we partake of the bread, we're going to have a season of prayer for repentance, for you to do business with God. For you to search your own heart, and for you to take some time in the quietness of the moment that we're going to have here in a moment, just to spend some time with God. And so that's what's happening. So listen to this prayerfully. This is David's prayer of repentance. He says, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. According to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin." That's what we get when we go to God with a repentant heart. Verse 3 says, "For I know my transgressions and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are right in your verdict and justified when you judge. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Yet you desire faithfulness even in the womb. You taught me wisdom in that place. Cleanse me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquity. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence, or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me." Listen, this is what is available to the child of God, that we can go to our Heavenly Father with a repentant heart and we can say, "I'm sorry. Help me to change my direction. Help me to turn away from my sin and turn back to you." And that's what we need to do as we approach the Lord's Supper table, is that we need to remember what Jesus did for us on the cross, and that the reason that he did that for us on the cross was so that we could be forgiven. And if we take the Lord's Supper in an unworthy way or with unrepentant sin, then we're taking judgment onto ourselves. And so we need to simply come before the Father, and we need to pray, and we need to ask him for forgiveness. And listen, this is not something that we just do during the Lord's Supper. Repentance and confession of sin should be an active part in our life all the time. You know, listen, when you become a believer, you do not stop sinning. When you become a believer, the penalty for sin is removed from you, but you do not stop sinning. If someone says to you that they are a believer and they no longer sin, they are deceived. And they think they are something that they're not. Listen, we'll struggle with sin until we see Jesus face to face. And so since that's true, and based on the word of God that's true, we always need to have a short account with God and take our sins and repent of those sins so that we're growing closer and closer to Jesus as time goes on. And so our deacons are going to come and we're going to serve the bread. And after our deacons return to their seats, I'm going to say the words and we will take the bread together. And then we'll spend some time in individual prayer as we repent and do business with God. So during that last Lord's Supper, Jesus was with his disciples, and he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body." And having taken the Lord's Supper, spend some time now in prayer, doing individual business with God about your own sin and your need for repentance. Father, we thank you for your love for us. And we know that you listen to our prayers, especially those of your children, when we have repentant hearts and we confess our sins to you. Father, we thank you that you hear us. And because of what your son Jesus did on the cross, because of what we remember today, that you forgive us and cleanse us of all of our unrighteousness. And that we have the imputed righteousness of Christ in our life. And we thank you for that. Father, help us to live our lives clean before you. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. So it's important for us as this invitation to come is personal. We need to come to the table. We need clean hands. But we also come to the table. As we come to the table, we need healthy appetites. I don't know if it would be a surprise to you, but many times when I come to the table, I have a healthy appetite. Miss Jean, this last Thursday, said something really, really nice to me. She was taking pictures as she went around the fall festival, and she said, "Every time I see you, you're eating something." And I was like, you know, that's my natural state, I think, because I have a healthy appetite. I need to figure out how to deal with that. But listen to this passage of scripture where Jesus was on the Mount of Olives and he was talking. These were part of the Beatitudes. He says, "Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him and began to teach them." So he's teaching his disciples when he says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, because they will be filled." They will be satisfied, another translation says. Listen, when we hunger and thirst for the things of God and more of God in our life, listen, that's when we get to a place of being satisfied, because we're hungering and thirsting for the things of God and for righteousness in our life. And so when we come to the table and we remember the great sacrifice that Jesus gave for us on the cross, we need to work on our appetites. We need to have a passion for the things of God, because it was a great price that was paid for you and I to have salvation. It was a priceless gift for us when the Son of God died on the cross for our sins. And we need to work on our appetites. And you know the best way to have a good appetite is to work hard. Listen, when I have a day working outside, or just a day of hard work, and it's time for dinner, I'm hungry because there's been activity during the day. Sometimes we're not hungry and thirsting for righteousness because we haven't done anything in his name. We've been just about the normal, ordinary business, and we haven't really given any attention to the things of God. But when we get about it spiritually, and we work at it spiritually, and we're putting our heart into our relationship with God, that creates this hunger for righteousness. So we need to come with clean hands, and we need to come with a healthy appetite. And we also, when we come to his table, we need to enjoy the moment. We need to enjoy the moment. And listen, this is a lost art for us. We need to relearn how to enjoy the moments of life, right? I mean, think about that first Lord's Supper. Think about the disciples with Jesus around the table. There were no cell phones. There was no Instagram pictures happening. There was no selfies going on. There was no social media of any way. There weren't any text messages to work with. Listen, there were no TVs in the room. I mean, it was completely lacking of all tech. And it was just a group of people with their rabbi who they loved. And they were getting into the moment. And they were there with their Savior. And he was describing for them what was going to happen. And he was giving them this gift, this beautiful thing like our choir sang about, of the Lord's Supper. And he was modeling it when he took the bread and broke it and gave it to them. When they took the juice and passed it around, and they participated in it. And they were just lounging at the table, spending time with one another. Listen, isn't that a lost art in our culture? We've got phones going off. We've got TVs on. We've got something going on all the time. And listen, it's not just teenagers. There's a number of times lately that I've noticed, and I've actually said something a couple times, to groups of adults. I said, look at this group just like teenagers with their smartphones out, checking whatever's going on. I mean, how important is whatever that text message or that email or that selfie or that post or whatever really is when you miss the moment that's happening right before you? And we need to enjoy the moments of life. Listen, put those devices away. And when you're around your Thanksgiving table or when you're around the table with your family, listen, take advantage of every moment that you have, because they're fleeting. And things change, times change too quickly. Like for Carol and I, we have one child out of college working full-time living in Dallas, our daughter Amanda, and then we have four children in college right now, two dual enrollment and two others. Listen, when did that happen? I remember the baby buggies, the strollers. I remember the multiple stroller that we had to have to push more than one child at a time. We had a bye-bye buggy that sat four that we would take around the neighborhood. But listen, the time of the bye-bye buggy has gone bye-bye because it's completely different now. Listen, we need to enjoy the moments of life. And as we come to the table, we need to soak it in. And we need to truly remember what Jesus did for us and not just rush by the moment when we take of the bread and we take of the juice and we confess our sins and we come to his table. We need to enjoy the moment. And then number two on your message notes, our invitation is to come together with family. This is something that's really special about holiday meals and different meals when our family gathers together, as we're all together and we're in one place and we're eating a meal together. And the same is true with the Lord's Supper. We come together as a corporate body of Christ and we are together with family. Now listen, we are a group of families that are together, but our families meet together for moments like this where we are corporately together as with our church family and we are enjoying the Lord's Supper. Back a few weeks ago when we talked about the church, I mentioned this passage in Acts chapter 2, which is a great snapshot of the early church, and I want to read that as it relates to us being together. It mentions them participating in the Lord's Supper. Listen to Acts chapter 2, verse 42. It says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. That's actually just eating meals together, but the Lord's Supper is coming up. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions and gave to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. There's this unity that happens when we remember what Jesus did for us on the cross and we allow that truth and our faith to change our lives, and we're together, we are one in the bond of love. We're one in unity in Christ. And so we come together, and that's something that's special. The two ordinances that we have as a church is baptism and the Lord's Supper. And we're doing the Lord's Supper, and that's something special that we come together. And so what we're going to do in these moments, and this is different than anything we've done since I've been here, is we're going to gather in some groups in the sanctuary right now. And this is difficult because, of course, these are fixed pews and there's no moving chairs around or anything. But I need y'all to get in groups of no more than eight or nine people around in groups. And as you're in groups, our deacons are going to approach these groups and going to serve the juice in these groups. And then after we serve the juice, I'll say the words. And then someone within that group is going to pray. And if there's a deacon there, if there's a Sunday morning Bible study teacher, or if a dad wants to speak the prayer, you can. And so we don't want anyone sitting by themselves. And this might be, and listen, this is a little outside of the box for us. It's okay to move around right now a little bit if you can get into, I mean, it's cutting edge, right? But listen, you can move around some and get into some groups. Nobody left behind, okay? So move into those groups, and our deacons are going to come to the front, and we are going to distribute the juice. Oh, this is a beautiful thing already. We've got activity and movement in the room right now. Right. Extra credit to everyone that is standing, that we're willing to stand so that we could get into groups. This is this going this well, by the way, is a sign we'll be doing more things like this. So what we're going to do is I'm going to say the words and then we're going to drink the juice, but we need somebody in each group that's going to pray. So real fast, y'all decide who's going to pray. And this is going to be a prayer thanking God for what Jesus did for us when he shed his blood for us on the cross. And we're doing this together in groups of our family members and also our church body. So now that you've decided who's going to pray, Jesus also took the cup. Then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, which is important, we want to be thankful, he gave it to them saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which was poured out for the forgiveness of sins." So we drink. And now your person can pray. Appreciate y'all doing something a little different this morning. And as you return to your seats, we're going to continue to look at this thing about our invitation to come to the table. Our invitation, number three on your message notes, is to come gratefully. And listen, this is what this season is all about, for us to have grateful hearts. Back in the passage that I read earlier, it said, "For what I received from the Lord, I also passed on to you." The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, and Jesus is our model, he is giving thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance for me." Listen, if there is anything in this world that we can be grateful for, it's the body and blood of our Savior, Jesus Christ. When we remember the Lord's Supper, that gives us grateful hearts because Jesus has done for us what we could not do for ourselves. I mean, that's important for you to understand. Jesus did something. It wasn't a matter of us needing a little help. Listen, we were dead in our sins and trespasses, and because of what Jesus did for us, he brought us back to life. And when we understand that and when we remember that, that gives us grateful hearts because we have received something that we could not do for ourselves. No matter how hard we tried, no matter how religious we became, no matter how well we obeyed the rules, we could never be good enough, and Jesus did it for us. And so this time of year and throughout the year, we need to stay focused on what we have gotten and what Jesus has given for us and not on everything else. Having grateful hearts is so important. Listen, it starts with just saying thank you and being grateful for what others do for you. And it continues all the way to that heavy lifting of spiritually saying, "Jesus, as I remember you, I thank you." And so our invitation is to come gratefully. And this is a great time of year as you gather around the Thanksgiving table and as you spend more time with your family, more than the rest of the year, that you would honestly from the heart express gratitude for how God has blessed you and your family. And that starts with us understanding what Jesus did for us, that it was more than we could do for ourselves. And then finally, there on your message notes, our invitation is to come to the cross. Our invitation is to come to the cross. Listen to verse 26 again. It says, "For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Listen, when we gather together and we participate in the Lord's Supper, we are proclaiming something to the world. We're proclaiming that what we are doing is a symbolic act as we remember what Jesus did for us on the cross when his body was bruised and whipped for us, when his blood was spilt on the ground for us. We remember that, and we proclaim that, that he not only died for our sins, but he rose again. We proclaim the gospel, and we need to proclaim the gospel, but we need to proclaim the gospel to ourselves, making sure that we've made the right response to the gospel, and then we move on from that preaching of the gospel to proclaim it to the world. Listen, one of the things that we're going to do in 2020, which is next year in a couple months, that is crazy to think of 2020 being here already, is that we're going to focus some of our attention and effort into some evangelism training so that we can be deliberate about proclaiming the gospel with people that we have an influence with. That's going to be something we're going to be very deliberate about. But that starts with us responding to the gospel properly, and then once we have responded to the gospel, then we can proclaim it to others. And so the invitation for you this morning is to remember what Jesus did for us on the cross. Individually and also corporately, we remember what Jesus did for us on the cross. And another thing that we have done this morning is repented of our sin, is to agree with God about our sin and say, God, I'm sorry, and I turn away from my sin, and I turn to you as I remember what you did for me. And then the next one is to return to life spiritually refreshed. Listen, we go back to it tomorrow. It's back to work. It's back to everything that we have going on in this next week. But we can do that spiritually refreshed because we've been together today, because we've remembered today, because we've done real business with God today. And so we're going to have a moment of invitation, and this is a time for you to continue that prayer conversation that you have with God, to sing the invitation song, but to do real business with God. And so as our musicians come to the front, this is going to be God's invitation time for you. If you want to be a part of a church that remembers and participates in the Lord's Supper as we did today, this would be your opportunity. If you have a spiritual decision for baptism or a recommitment of your life to Christ, these are moments that you can do that. And we've already moved around in the room today, so it's okay to move around. And like Miss Carol mentioned, if you have your shoe boxes and you want to say a prayer for them, and you can bring them and place them on this side of the stage as we begin to collect those, that is completely appropriate to do during these moments. So would you please stand? We're going to have a word of prayer. We're going to start our invitation time this morning. Father, we thank you for your love, and we thank you for your grace. And Father, I pray that you would bless us now as we respond to you during this invitation. Father, we remember your son Jesus and what he did. And Father, may we never forget, and may we live our life according to the truth of the gospel. So Father, we thank you, and would you be honored in these moments that we spend together. In Jesus' name we pray.